in the opening verses of this very important chapter, in verses 1 through verse 5, that the Lord Jesus prays for himself. And of course, none of us could pray with the wisdom that he would pray with. But it's important for us to notice, even from that, the importance of seeking the Lord in prayer. And we trust that we will do that. It's a great chapter to read yourself and to even look from verses 6 on down through about verse 19, where the Lord prays for those around him, the apostles and disciples, those who were with him. We know that he knew that they had many concerns. He knew their weaknesses as well as their strengths, and he prayed certainly for them. But in verses 20 through to the end of the chapter, the Lord prays for you and I. He prays for all believers from that time right through to the end of time. All of those who, through the outreach and the preaching of the word, and in different ages, some as children, some as adults, some as older people, all who would ever come to them. In verses 20 through 26, he's praying for them. Or I should say, he's praying for me and for you. And folks, with all of the uncertainty of 21st century life and all of the things that come against us out there in the world, and all of the worries that older people have regarding young people, and all of the stresses that life brings, the things that are there now regarding people worried about their employment and really, really stressed about these things. And that is understandable, because there is such uncertainty at the present time all around us in the world. Folks, it's so important to know that the Lord Jesus is praying for you. That there's not a circumstance in your life that he doesn't know about. There's nothing at all that you or I can think of that he doesn't fully understand. And therefore, I want this morning, for the remainder of the time, to look at you with you at the message that I've titled, "What Did Jesus Pray for Me?" What did Jesus pray for me? Look at the verse again. It says, "Neither pray I for these alone," that is those who were around him, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So we're looking at this verse and we're thinking, what did Jesus pray for me? Maybe you're in your teens or younger, or maybe you're a more older person. Well, here's a good question. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is here the devotion expressed. Right away in chapter 17 here in John, you see that the Lord Jesus was praying for us long before, when we were in the mind of God at all. He was praying for us. There are many people that you can talk to in the world today. For instance, it may be a grandmother, and when they hear that they're going to have a grandchild, they begin praying for it right away. And I can say as a father that whenever we knew that we were going to be expecting an arrival in our house, Chirith and I both, we prayed right away every day for certain aspects of that child's life. And I want to say to you right away that one of the things that we did not pray for was anything material. The Lord will see to that. If it pleases him in one way or another, whatever he provides them with. But the important things regarding them, we prayed for them before they were born. And that is a good practice, generally. Remember over there, I was thinking of Samson. I was actually thinking about another part of his life and how through his relationship with Delilah, he completely marred his testimony. How easily that can happen, folks. Don't let it happen. Stay close to the Lord. Samson didn't do that. But in Judges chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, "And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass." And then it says, "How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" Now, the words there, if you were to look at them in the original Hebrew language, they say, "What shall be his work?" What shall be his work? He's not born yet. And yet they're asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want him to do? And folks, we want the best for our families. It sickens me when I see people on television and success in life is gauged by how many zeros you have in your bank account. You brought nothing in and we bring nothing out. If you've got many zeros, that's good. If you haven't got any, well, that's good too. And you know, we know to look to the Lord for every penny that we need. But when you look around in the world today, there's so much that could discourage people who are trying to have the very best for their young people. And that is the blessing of the Lord. That is what, if you look with me there, I mentioned Samson. Look at verse 25 of that same chapter in Judges 13. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zor and Eshtaol. Verse 24, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. The child grew, and look at these words, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him. That is the best thing to pray for our children. And brethren and sisters, do you think that the Lord Jesus would pray anything bad for us? For my sons and for your relatives or your sons or daughters, you would not want anything bad for them. And the Lord Jesus, when he was praying for me, remember what he said there now, he prayed for all them who would believe. That's us. When he was praying for me, he knew what was good for me. It's a good job, and I can say this, and I must say it honestly with hand on heart, it's a good job that he didn't leave it up to me. For there are so many things that I have, when I look back over the years, that I've asked for and I didn't get them. So I've got a friend, and he is a friend, so I'm not being critical of him, but he is completely skeptical of the whole, he's anti-COVID, he doesn't think it really exists. But something, he sends me texts often, and he sent me a little clip the other day, and this is what it said. It said, it was a little picture. It said, when I get what I ask for, that is God's direction. But when I don't get what I've asked for, that is God's protection. And I look back over the years, folks, and I can thank the Lord. Didn't thank him at the time. But I can thank him now and say, Lord, thank you that you didn't give me what I asked for. I see your hand in it. I see your hand in it. And that is what was happening with Samson. And brethren and sisters, what did the Lord Jesus pray for me? He prayed for that which was good for me. I want to look at what it says in the book of Romans, if you would turn there, please. And it's chapter 8. I'll read what it says in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then it goes into other verses there, but we're seeing here the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, today, he's still interceding for me. He's still praying for me as I would possibly make mistakes and go the wrong way. I want to say that this praying for us, and this is important because we're creatures who are given to feeling, and feeling has its place, but we're guided by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes our feelings can trip us up. I want to say that this praying is ongoing, whether we feel it or not. There's a great Old Testament example of that. If you look at the book of Job, and Job was a great man of God, there's no question about that, and he was a follower of the Lord, and things changed for him drastically. And he says in Job 23 and verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him. He's looking for the Lord. That I might come even to his seat, to the throne of grace. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. And those are words of a man who seems to have at that time had no real sense of the Lord's presence. And when that happens, it's very, very easy, folks, to think that the Lord Jesus isn't praying for you and isn't praying for me. But remember what we said. He prayed for us before when we were just in the mind of God. He prays for us now. He will never bring us. We're poor and weak and always feeble and needy. He will never bring us anything that is wrong for us. The importance of walking with God. He will never bring us anything that is wrong for us. If you take a wee look down that chapter 23 in Job, look at verse 10. His confidence seems to be in the Lord here in this verse for sure. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What is Job saying? He's saying, even though I am not aware of the Lord's presence in a way that I would want to be, because of my circumstances, I can't find him in prayer. I'm not sure. Really, the thought might be, well, I just can't pray. Well, he was in a very difficult situation, but he's saying here, he knoweth the way that I take. And folks, he knows the way we take. Don't think for a moment that he's forgotten about you. This praying is ongoing. This praying, I want to say, is unseen, yet working out everything for our good. I'll just quote Romans again in 8 and 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And all God's purposes are eternal, effectual, and permanent. His purposes can never be defeated. And as we, folks like these brethren whom the Lord Jesus was talking to, as you and I still have to go out into the world, and still Christians start businesses, still they look for employment. In all of that, going out into the world, and this chapter, by the way, does not say that you're not to be in the world. It says we are in the world. We're not of it, but we don't go away and hide. We're there, right among it. And in the midst of that, the Lord Jesus is praying for you. That is the devotion expressed. That's the devotion of the Lord Jesus to you and me. To you and me this year. I don't know what the pandemic's going to bring, where it's going to get out of hand again or not. I hope it doesn't. We were very relieved that things were not nearly overall as bad as we thought they might have been. But who knows? But in everything else as well, the devotion expressed. So what does the Lord pray for you? He prays for you for that which is good. Just the same as I would pray for my son. Or you would pray for someone belong to you. The Lord knows. I don't know. But he knows that which is good. There's also the thought here of daily exercise. Now, look at the verse again. It says, "Neither pray I for these only," that is those around him, "but for those which shall believe on me through their word." It says there about believe on me through the word. Now, of course, that brings to our thoughts the importance of saving faith. Saving faith is vital, and as a vital ingredient of salvation. And you think of what it teaches in, I know it's a message to a Christian church in Revelation 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's what the Lord does today with sinners. He knocks at the door. He knocks at the door through preaching and through witness and through lives that he uses. And whenever you, Christian, opened that door, you didn't open it with a great deal of confidence in yourself. You opened it in your sin, but you opened it by faith. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door of any man and knock. If any man will open to me." It's like the painting so many years ago by Mr. Hunt, that the handle, there was no handle on it. There was weeds growing up all around it. And the skeptics of the day, the critics, I should say, they came to see it and said, "It's brilliant, but you've made a mistake. There's no handle." You see, it was supposed to depict a heart's door. That's what it was supposed to be. They said to him, "There's no handle there. The rest of it's magnificent. A great work." He says, "That's not a mistake." He said, "The handle's on the inside. The handle's on the inside." And when you and I open the door to the Saviour, we exercise saving faith. But I want to move from that and say, what about daily faith? Daily exercise of faith. Do you remember when the Lord was speaking to some, he said, "Oh, ye have little faith." Well, he could say that to me many's a time. Someone he was speaking, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." Sometimes they'd forgotten just what he was able to do, and they were weak, of course, and they think, "Well, Lord, increase our faith that we don't make that same mistake again." And brothers and sisters, every single day in life we have to exercise our faith. What is faith? It's the evidence of things, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You and I, we know that God is working. We believe that. We believe that he is sovereign in all the affairs of our life. But we also know that we need to exercise faith because, as someone said the other day, I saw it written down, we live by faith, not by sight. We need to, or we become discouraged. The daily exercise of faith. Well, what can you say about this Lord Jesus who's praying for us? Well, he says there, I pray, but for them which shall believe. And when you believe and you've come to trust him, you're in his family. And today I want you to reassure you of this. That means that he is approachable. I hope I'm approachable as your minister. You have loved ones who are approachable. But there's no one as approachable as him. Doesn't the hymn say, the little song say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything. Doesn't matter how big it is or how small. Do not carry everything to God in prayer. He's approachable today. And he's approachable tomorrow. And in this prayer of his, he's letting us know that. We have believed on him. We've been brought into his family. I want to look with you there at what it says in Matthew chapter 15. We're looking here at daily exercise of faith. And Christian, that makes all the difference in our lives. It's all the difference. Matthew chapter 15. Woman here come crying to the Lord, and that's the way you and I ought to come as well. But simply in verse 25 of Matthew 15, she came and worshipped, saying, Lord, help me. Now that's not a very complicated prayer. It's not a very long one. But it's one that you can use, and one that I can use as we approach him every day. Lord, help me. Help me to keep going on in the strength of the Lord. Help me to be steady in seeking the Lord in prayer. Make me a man or woman who can really lay hold upon the Lord. Help me to be cheerful in living for the Lord and doing whatever he has given me to do. Help me to be a man or woman of courage in speaking for him and to get the opportunity. Help me to love the word of God and to have great confidence in the message. Those are all things that you and I can pray. And we can come to him because he is approachable. And because we have faith in him. Men and women, his ear is ever open to our cry. Because not only is he approachable, he's able to do what we ask. I mentioned to you that when we don't get what we ask for, that's God's protection. But so often he's given us what we want. We've known he's shown us his way. Be careful that you don't go off track, young person. I just want to say to you, and I'm not speaking down to you in any way, you know I wouldn't do that, but I just want to say be careful when you go to university. Because there will be people who will very, 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 very pleasant and helpful in many ways, but they will take you absolutely off track. And no one ever profits from losing out with the Lord. But the Lord has power to show us his way. He will use your lives for his glory. Important to remember that every day. That means I have to examine my heart. And think, oh, well, what if the world doesn't listen? What if no sinners listen on sermon audio and they don't pay any attention? Well, I can't help that. But what I do, I have to do for God's glory. So there is here the devotion expressed, brethren and sisters. He's praying for you. Knows all about your need. But then there is the thought of daily exercise. That is the thought of exercise. And we need to have, how do we increase our faith? By exercising it. By coming along, spending time among God's people. Spending time in prayer. No substitute for it. Prayer together and prayer alone. Spending more time in his word. Coming and listening to it and reading it for ourselves. And that way, our faith increased. You remember Abraham in Romans chapter 4. He was a friend of God. And it reads there about his faith not wavering. What faith he had. Why? Because he knew the Lord intimately. He knew the Lord intimately. And he had that close walk with the Lord. I hope you have it. You continue to enjoy it. I have one other thought here. Not just the devotion expressed. The Lord loves us greatly. Prayed for us then. Prays for us now. The daily exercise of faith. So important. But the declaration exhorted. Did you read what it said? At the end of the verse there. It said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See that? It is through their word. In other words, through what they would declare, through the proclamation of their word, what the disciples would preach. Do you remember Paul? He called it my gospel. That wasn't being arrogant. Yes, he wrote some of the New Testament writings. And he certainly was a preacher. But he knew that the responsibility was given to him to declare the word of God to others. Here's what it says. They're going to believe, and this is how. On me, through their word. Through the word that they would declare unto the people. And of course, that was encouragement for them. It's absolutely essential that you and I remember that now. There's not the ear for the word of God that there used to be. But you and I are still exhorted to declare God's word. He's still praying for the word as we preach it. As we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to men and women. And the necessity of preaching the word. Well, you don't need me to remind you how we need to preach the word to strengthen our own hearts. How we need to preach the word in order that men and women all around us will believe on him. And come to know him as their saviour. And sometimes that can become wearisome. I don't know if you were at Reverend Higginson's installation on Friday evening, or maybe you watched it online. I'm not sure. I didn't see all of it. I've seen some of it. But I remember Mr. Dean exhorting people the importance of praying for your minister as he preaches the word. Preaches the word. It is so important. Over there in Luke chapter 5, and I'll just read quickly what it says. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught of fishes. I want to say when you look at verse 4 there, we have a great example of what you're trying to do in launching out with the word of God. See what it says, launch out into the deep. The fish were usually found in shallow water. And that was where they fished. But he's saying, now go to there, go out into the deep. It seems to be an unusual place. And go out there and let down your nets. You'd think people may have laughed and thought, well, them boys should know better by now. What are they doing fishing there? I think sometimes I've been in the wrong place when I'm fishing. That's another story. But you see here, they were to go to that place which seemed to be hard. Now, what were they to do? Well, they were to do what they always did. They were to let down their nets. And the lesson here is this, that it takes faith to sow when the odds are against you. Maybe in Simon's heart he thought, well, I'm not getting any fish out there. And sometimes when you're preaching the word and a congregation is proclaiming the word and declaring the word through its ministry to men and women here and there, you need faith when the odds are against you, because they are. But not only were they to let down the net even when the odds were against them, they were to stick to the method that they were using. He didn't say go and get a different net. Try and do it a different way. They were to keep doing what they were doing. And so it is with you and I, brethren and sisters. When the Lord prayed long ago, he was praying for people that were not in existence then on the earth. He was praying for us, but he's also praying for those who come after us. That through the word of God, that is why I asked, please do pray for our vacancies. That there will be no, some of them are already vacant for years. there'll be no big long vacancies, but there'll be someone there to just the right man, maybe younger or a student, maybe someone older, be the right man there at the right time in God's will to bring the word of God to the right congregation. The declaration exhorted, of course, is through their word, and that ought to encourage us. That through our word, God can fulfill his purpose. I mentioned to you earlier on there to pray for preaching. I haven't asked you for a little while, but we are still doing Thoughts on Thursdays, a little message about 10 minutes, and another little one on, I said Thoughts on Thursdays, and there's Room at the Cross on Fridays, and about another 10-minute message. There are people listening to it, and people have contacted me, people who I don't know and so on, and I've heard about them and all, but we'd just like you to go in, and if you go in there, I'm not asking you to comment or even like it, but if you can hit the share. You see, the share, and I didn't know this a way back myself, the share spreads it out among other people, which means other people hear. Why? Because people believe through his word. They believe through his word. We intend to keep them going for a while yet, and we trust that the whole congregation of you, I'm not sure who's on Facebook and who's not, but if you are, maybe you go in and do that. You're playing your part in reaching others with the gospel. I'm going to finish soon, but I want you to turn, please, and I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 55. We're looking here at what God prays for me. What did Jesus pray for me? Well, there's devotion. He definitely prayed before I was here, and he prays for me now. But then there's the daily exercises, the faith, the thought there of that. We have to exercise that faith, and as we do that, he strengthens our faith. But then there is a declaration exhorted, and that was the reaching out with the word. We're so blessed to have the Bible in our own hands and be able to open one any day and to look at it and to read it together. Now, you know at the beginning of Isaiah 55, where Isaiah is drawing the people there, drawing their attention to the Lord and saying, why do you labour for that which satisfieth not? And there's a whole lot of people in the world doing that. And he says, incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live. But I would like you to go right down to verse 11. And this is a great verse. It says, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. Now, I'm just a weak spokesman at best on Facebook. I don't put up to be anything else, and I won't. That's all we are. Spokesmen for a while, and then we're gone. And then somebody else might do it. But that's whether it's on Facebook or sermon audio or in the pulpit here, remember, it is God's word. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. The word void there means emptily, or it shall not go out to no purpose. And that gives us great incentive to continue on reaching out and declaring the word of God. Yes, we're living in days when many, many people pay no heed at all. Sad to say, some believers can backslide and go off track and become self-willed and lose out and affect ourselves, affect our families and all of that. We hate to see that. It breaks our hearts, but we have it in our families and we know about it. But look what it says there. Accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now, there's the word prosper there that is a very interesting word. It means to accomplish successfully or to make good. That means that every time God's word is preached, whatever his purpose is for it then, it will not return empty, or it will not go out to no purpose, but it will accomplish successfully what he wants us to do. That word, and this is a little bit technical, trust I explain it properly. The word prosper there, it has transitive significance. And that very simply means that it keeps working until the purpose is accomplished. Isn't that great concerning the word of God? It keeps working until the purpose is accomplished. And folks, until the Lord Jesus returns, you and I have the very solemn responsibility to declare the word. Because the Lord Jesus made it very clear here, that's how people believe. They believe through the word of God. And as you look around you today, we see a country that is largely given to godlessness. And very enthusiastically embracing sin at every turn. But the Lord has given you and I the opportunity. He prays for you. He prayed for you and me. He prays for us now, and he will continue to pray for us. I trust that we remember that our hearts will be strengthened, that we will encourage one another, and that we will know him answering for us in the days to come.